and shifted restlessly, and I realized what had disturbed me. The sound he made was pained, his subsequent hiss of breath tormented.
"Don't touch me," he whispered harshly. "Get your fucking hands off me."
I froze, my heart racing. His words sliced through the dark, filled with fury.
"You sick bastard!"
He writhed, his legs kicking at the covers, his back arched on a groan that sounded perversely erotic.
"Don't. Oh, Christ. It hurts."
He strained, his body twisting. I couldn't bear it. "Gideon." Because Carrie had nightmares sometimes, I knew better than to touch a man in the throes of one. Instead, I knelt on my side of the bed and called his name. "Gideon, wake up." Stilling abruptly, he fell to his back, tense and expectant. His chest heaved with panting breaths. His cock was hard and lay heavily along his belly. I spoke firmly, although my heart was breaking.
"Gideon, you're dreaming. Come back to me."
He deflated into the mattress.
"Ava?"
"I'm here." Shifting, I moved out of the way of the moonlight, but saw no luminous glitter that would tell me his eyes were open. "Are you awake?" His breathing began to slow, but he didn't speak. His hands were fisted in the bottom sheet. I pulled the shirt I was wearing over my head and dropped it on the bed. I sidled closer, reaching out with a tentative hand to touch his arm. When he didn't move, I caressed him, my fingertips sliding gently over the hard muscle of his biceps.
"Gideon."
He jerked awake.
"What? What is it?"
I sat back on my heels with my hands on my thighs. I saw him blink at me, then shove both hands through his hair. I could feel the nightmare clinging to him, could sense it in the rigidness of his body.
"What's wrong?"
he asked gruffly, pushing up onto one elbow.
"You okay?"
"I want you." I stretched out against him, aligning my bare body to his. Pressing my face into his damp throat, I sucked gently on his salty skin. I knew from my own nightmares that being held and loved could push the specters back into the closet for a little while. His arms came around me, his hands running up and down the curve of my spine. I felt him let go of the dream with a long, deep sigh. Pushing him to his back, I climbed over him and sealed my mouth over his. His erection was notched between the lips of my sex, and I rocked against him. The feel of his hands in my hair, holding me to take control of the kiss, quickly made me wet and ready. Fire licked just beneath my skin. I stroked my clit up and down his thick length, using him to masturbate until he made a rough sound of desire and rolled to put me beneath him.
"I don't have any condoms in the house,"
he murmured, before wrapping his lips around my nipple and sucking gently. I loved that he wasn't prepared. This wasn't his fuck pad. This was his home, and I was the only lover he'd brought into it.
"I know you mentioned swapping bills of health when we talked about birth control, and that's the responsible way to go, but..."
"I trust you."
He lifted his head, looking at me in the faint light of the moon. Kneeing my legs open, he pushed the first bare inch inside me. He was scorching hot and silky soft.
"Ava,"
he breathed, clutching me tightly to him.
"I've never... Christ, you feel so good. I'm so glad you're here."
I tugged his lips down to mine and kissed him.
"Me too."
I woke the way I'd fallen asleep, with Gideon on top of me and inside me. His gaze was heavy-lidded with desire as I rose from unconsciousness into heated pleasure.
His hair hung around his shoulders and face, looking even sexier for being sleep-tousled. But best of all, there were no shadows in his gorgeous eyes, nothing lingering from the pain that haunted his dreams.
"I hope you don't mind," he murmured with a wicked grin, sliding in and out. "You're warm and soft. I can't help but want you."
I stretched my arms over my head and arched my back, pressing my breasts into his chest. Through the slender arch-topped windows, I saw the soft light of dawn filling the sky.
I could get used to waking up like this.
That was my thought at 3 this morning.
He rolled his hips and sank deep into me.
I thought I'd return the favor.
My body revved to life, my pulse quickening.
Yes, please.
Carrie was gone when we got to my apartment. He'd left a note behind to tell me he was on a job but would be back in plenty of time for pizza with Trey. Since I'd been too upset to enjoy my pie the night before, I was ready to try again when I was having a good time.
"I have a business dinner tonight," Gideon said, leaning over my shoulder to read. "I was hoping you'd come with me and make it bearable."
"I can't bail out on Carrie," I said apologetically, turning to face him. "Chicks before dicks and all that." His mouth twitched, and he caged me to the breakfast bar. He was dressed for work in a suit I'd picked out, a graphite gray Prada with a soft sheen. His tie was the blue one that matched his eyes, and as I'd lain on his bed and watched him dress, I'd had to fight the urge to take it all off him.
"Carrie isn't a chick, but I get the point. I want to see you tonight. Can I come over after the dinner and stay the night?"
Heated anticipation rushed through me. I smoothed my hands over his vest, feeling like I had a special secret because I knew exactly what he looked like without his clothes on.
"I'd love it if you did."
"Good."
He gave a satisfied nod.
"I'll make us coffee while you get dressed."
"The beans are in the freezer. The grinder's next to the coffee pot," I pointed. "And I like lots of milk and a little sweetener." When I came out 20 minutes later, Gideon grabbed 2 travel mugs of coffee off the breakfast bar, and we headed down to the lobby. Paul hustled us out the front door and into the back seat of Gideon's waiting Bentley SUV. As Gideon's driver pulled into traffic, Gideon checked me out and said,
"You're definitely trying to kill me. Are you wearing the garters again?"
Pulling the hem of my skirt up, I showed him where the top of my black silk stockings hooked to my black lace garter belt. His muttered curse made me smile. I had chosen a black short-sleeved silk turtleneck sweater, paired with a decently short pleated skirt in lipstick red, and heeled Mary Jane's. Because Carrie hadn't been around to manage something fancy with my hair, I'd pulled it back in a ponytail.
"You like?"
"I'm hard."
His voice was husky, and he adjusted himself in his trousers.
"How the hell am I going to get through the day thinking about you dressed like that?"
"There's always lunch," I suggested, fantasizing about a nooner on Gideon's office couch.
"I have a business lunch today. I'd reschedule if I hadn't moved it already yesterday."
"You rescheduled an appointment for me? I'm flattered."
He reached over and brushed his fingertips over my cheek, a now habitual gesture of affection that was tender and fiercely intimate. I was coming to depend on receiving those touches. I leaned my cheek into his palm.
"Can you carve 15 minutes out of your day for me?"
"I'll manage it."
"Call me when you know the time."
Taking a deep breath, I dug into my bag and wrapped my hand around a gift I wasn't sure he'd want. But I couldn't get the memory of his nightmare out of my head. I hoped that what I had for him would remind him of me and 3 a.m. sex, and help him cope.
"I have something,"
I thought... It suddenly seemed conceited to give him what I'd brought. He frowned.
What's wrong?
Nothing, it's just... I exhaled in a rush. Listen, I have something for you, but I just realized it's one of those gifts. Well, it's not really a gift. I'm already thinking it's not appropriate, and...
He thrust out his hand. Give it to me.
You can totally decide not to take it.
Shut up, Ava.
He crooked his fingers.
Give it to me.
I pulled it out of my bag and handed it over. Gideon stared down at the framed photograph in complete silence. It was a novelty frame depicting die-cut images of things relating to graduation, including a digital clock face that read 3 a.m. The picture was of me posing on Coronado Beach in a coral bikini with a big floppy straw hat. I was tanned, happy, and blowing a kiss to Carrie, who'd play-acted the role of a high-fashion photographer by calling out ridiculous encouragements. Beautiful, darling. Show me sassy. Show me sexy. Brilliant. Show me catty. Rawr. Embarrassed, I squirmed a little on the seat. Like I said, you don't have to keep... He cleared his throat.
Thank you, Ava.
Well, I was grateful to see the crossfire outside my window. I jumped out quickly when the driver pulled over and ran my hands over my skirt, feeling self-conscious. If you want, I can hang on to it until later. Gideon shut the door of the Bentley and shook his head.
It's mine. You're not taking it back.
He linked our fingers together and gestured toward the revolving door with the hand holding the frame. I warmed when I realized he intended to take my picture and to work with him. One of the fun things about the ad business was that no day was ever the same as the one before it. I was hopping all morning and was just beginning to contemplate what to do about lunch when my phone rang. Mark Garrity's office, Ava Trammell speaking. I've got news, Carrie said by way of greeting. What? I could tell by his voice that it was good news, whatever it was. I landed a Gray Isles campaign. Oh my God! Carrie, that's awesome! I love their jeans! What are you doing for lunch? I grinned. Celebrating with you? Can you be here at noon? I'm already on my way. I hung up and rocked back in my chair. So thrilled for Carrie, I felt like dancing. Needing something to do to kill the 15 minutes remaining before my lunch break, I checked my inbox again and found a Google Alert digest for Gideon's name. More than 30 mentions in just one day. I opened the email and freaked out a little at the numerous Mystery Woman headlines. I clicked on the first link and found myself landing on a gossip blog. There, in living color, was a photo of Gideon kissing me senseless on the sidewalk outside his gym. The accompanying article was short and to the point. Gideon Cross, New York's most eligible bachelor since John F. Kennedy Jr., was spotted yesterday in a passionate public embrace. A source at Cross Industries identified the lucky mystery woman as socialite Ava Trammell, daughter of multimillionaire Richard Stanton and his wife Monica. When queried about the nature of the relationship between Cross and Trammell, the source confirmed that Miss Trammell is the significant woman in the mogul's life at present. We imagine hearts are breaking across the country this morning.
Oh, crap, I breathed.
Chapter 11. I quickly clicked through other links in the digest to find the same picture with similar captions and articles. Alarmed, I sat back and thought about what this meant. If one kiss was headline news, what chance would Gideon and I have to make a relationship work? My hands weren't quite steady as I closed the browser tabs. I hadn't considered the press coverage, but I should have. Damn it! Anonymity was my friend. It protected me from my past, It protected my family from embarrassment, and Gideon, too. I didn't even have any social networking accounts, so people who weren't actively in my life couldn't find me. A thin, invisible wall between me and exposure was gone.
Hell, I breathed.
Finding myself in a painful situation I could have avoided if I'd dedicated any of my brain cells to something other than Gideon. There was also his reaction to this mess to consider. I cringed inwardly just thinking about it, and my mother. It wouldn't be long before she was calling and blowing everything out of shit. Remembering that she didn't have my new cell number, I picked up my desk phone and called my other voicemail to see if she'd already tried to reach me. I winced when I heard that my mailbox was full. I hung up and grabbed my purse, then headed off to lunch, knowing Carrie would help me put it all in perspective. I was so flustered when I reached the lobby level that I rushed out of the elevator with my only thought being to find my roommate. When I spotted him, I didn't take note of anyone else until Gideon sidestepped smoothly in front of me and blocked my path.
Ava.
He frowned down at me. Cupping my elbow, he turned me slightly around. That was when I saw the two women and a man who'd hidden him from my view. I managed to find a smile for them.
Hello.
Gideon introduced me to his lunch dates. Then he excused us and tugged me off to the side.
What's wrong? You're upset.
It's all over the place, I whispered. A picture of us together.
He nodded.
I've seen it.
I blinked up at him, confused at his nonchalance.
You're okay with it?
Why wouldn't I be? For once, they're reporting the truth.
A sneaking suspicion niggled at me.
You planned it. You planted the story.
Not entirely true, he said smoothly. The photographer happened to be there. I just gave him a picture worth printing, and told PR to make it clear who you are and what you are to me.
Why? Why would you do that?
You have your way of dealing with jealousy, and I have mine. We're both off the market, and now everyone knows it. Why is that a problem for you?
I was worried about your reaction, but there's more. There are things you don't know, and I took a deep, shaky breath. It can't be that way between us, Gideon. We can't be public. I don't want... Damn it. I'll embarrass you.
You couldn't. It's not possible.
He brushed a loose lock of hair off my face.
Can we talk about this later? If you need me...
No, it's okay. Go.
Carrie came over. Dressed in baggy black cargo pants and a V-neck white undershirt, he still managed to look expensive.
Everything all right?
Hi, Carrie. Everything's fine.
Gideon squeezed my hand.
Enjoy your lunch, and don't worry.
He could say that because he didn't know better. And I didn't know whether he'd still want me once he did. Carrie faced me as Gideon walked away.
Worry about what? What's wrong?
Everything, I sighed. Let's get out of here, and I'll tell you over lunch.
Well,
Carrie murmured, looking at the link I'd forwarded from my smartphone to his.
That's some kiss. The dip was a great touch. He couldn't look more into you if he tried.
That's the thing. I took another big gulp of water. He did try.
He shoved his phone into his pocket.
Last week you kept shooting him down for only wanting your vagina. This week he's publicizing that he's in a committed, passionate relationship with you and you're still unhappy. I'm starting to feel bad for the guy. He can't win for trying.
That stung. Reporters are going to dig Carrie, and they're going to find dirt. And since it's juicy dirt, they're going to splash it all over hell and back, and it's going to embarrass Gideon.
Baby girl,
he set his hand over mine.
Stanton buried all that.
Stanton.
I straightened. I hadn't thought of my stepfather. He'd see the disaster coming and keep a lid on it because he knew what the revelation would do to my mother. Still, I'll have to talk to Gideon about it. He has a right to be warned. Just the thought of that conversation made me miserable. Carrie knew how my brain worked. If you think he's going to cut and run, I think you're wrong. He looks at you like you're the only person in the room. I poked at my tuna Caesar salad. He's got a few demons of his own. Nightmares. He's closed himself off, I think, because of whatever's eating at him.
But he's let you in.
And he'd already shown hints of how possessive he could be about that connection. I accepted that because it was a flaw I shared, but still.
You're analyzing this to death, Ava, Carrie said. You're thinking the way he feels about you has to be a fluke or a mistake. Someone like him couldn't really be into you for your big heart and sharp mind, right?
My self-esteem isn't that bad, I protested. He took a sip of his champagne.
Isn't it? So tell me something you think he likes about you that doesn't have to do with sex or codependency.
I thought about it and came up empty, which made me scowl.
Right, he went on with a nod. And if Cross is anywhere near as messed up as we are, he's thinking the same thing in reverse, wondering what a hot babe like you sees in a guy like him. You've got money. So what has he got going for him besides being a stud who keeps screwing up?
Sitting back in my chair, I absorbed everything he'd said. Carrie, I love you madly. He grinned.
Back at you, sweets. My advice for what it's worth? Couples therapy. It's always been my plan to get into it when I find the one I want to settle down with and try to have fun with him. You've got to have as many good times as bad, or it all becomes too painful and too much work.
I reached over and squeezed his hand. Thank you.
For what?
He shrugged off my gratitude with an elegant wave of his hand.
It's easy to pick apart someone else's life. You know I couldn't get through my rough spots without you.
Which you don't have any of now, I pointed out, shifting the focus to him. You're about to be splashed across a Times Square billboard.
You won't be my secret any longer. Should we upgrade dinner from pizza to something more worthy of the occasion?
How about we haul out that case of Cristal Stanton gave us?
Now you're talking. Movies? Anything in particular you want to watch? Whatever you want. I wouldn't want to screw with your big dumb blow-em-up movie genius.
I grinned, feeling better as I'd known I would after an hour with Carrie. You'll let me know if I'm too dense to figure out when you and Trey want to be alone.
Ha! Don't worry about that. Your tempestuous love life is making me feel dull and boring. I could use a hot, sweaty bang with my own stud. You just had a maintenance closet romp a couple days ago, he sighed. I'd nearly forgotten. How sad is that?
It isn't when your eyes are laughing. I'd just gotten back to my desk when I checked my smartphone and found a text from Gideon, letting me know he had 15 minutes to spare at 2:45. I nursed a secret rush of anticipation for the next hour and a half, having decided to take Carrie's advice and have a little fun. Gideon and I would have to wade through the ugliness of my past soon enough. But for now, I could give us both something to smile about. I texted him just before I left, letting him know I was on my way. Considering the time constraints, we couldn't waste a minute. Gideon must have felt the same way, because I found Scott waiting for me at reception when I reached the Cross Industries waiting area. He walked me back after the receptionist buzzed me in.
How's your day been?
I asked him. He smiled.
Great, so far. Yours?
I smiled back. I've had worse. Gideon was on the phone when I entered his office. His tone was clipped and impatient as he told the person on the other end of the line that they should be able to manage the job without him having to oversee it personally. He held up one finger to me to tell me he'd be another minute. I responded by blowing a big bubble with the gum I was chewing and popping it loudly. His brows shot up, and he hit the buttons to close the doors and frost the glass wall. Grinning, I sauntered over to his desk and hopped onto it, curling my fingers around the lip and swinging my legs. He popped the next bubble I blew with a quick jab of his finger. I pouted prettily.
"Deal with it," he said, with quiet authority to whoever was on the phone. "It'll be next week before I can get out there, and waiting will set us back further.
Stop talking. I have something time-sensitive on my desk, and you're keeping me away from it. I guarantee that's not improving my disposition. Fix what needs fixing and report back to me tomorrow." He returned the phone to its cradle, with suppressed violence.
"Ava."
I held up one hand to cut him off and wrapped my gum in a post-it I took from a dispenser on his desk.
"Before you reprimand me, Mr. Cross, I want to say that when we reached an impasse in our merger discussions at the hotel yesterday, I shouldn't have walked out. It didn't help to resolve the situation, and I know I didn't react very well to the PR issue with the photo. But still, even though I've been a naughty secretary, I think I should be given another chance to excel."
His gaze narrowed as he studied me, assessing and reevaluating the situation on the fly.
"Did I ask for your opinion on the appropriate action to take, Miss Trammell?"
I shook my head and looked up at him from beneath my lashes. I could see the lingering frustration from his phone call falling away from him, replaced by his growing interest and arousal. Hopping down from the desk, I sidled closer and smoothed his immaculate tie with both hands.
"Can't we work something out? I do possess a wide variety of useful skills."
He caught me by the hips.
"Which is one of the many reasons you're the only woman I've ever considered for the position."
Warmth flowed through me at his words. Boldly cupping his cock in my hand, I fondled him through his slacks. "Maybe I should reapply myself to my duties. I could demonstrate some of the ways I'm uniquely qualified to assist you."
Gideon hardened with delectable swiftness.
"Such initiative, Miss Trammell. But my next meeting is less than 10 minutes away. Also, I'm not accustomed to exploring job enrichment opportunities in my office."
I freed the button of his fly and lowered his zipper. With my lips to his jaw, I whispered,
"If you think there's anywhere I won't make you come, you'll have to revisit and revise."
"Ava,"
he breathed, his eyes hot and tender. He cupped my throat, his thumbs brushing over my jaw.
"You're unraveling me. Do you know that? Are you doing it on purpose?"
I reached inside his boxer briefs and wrapped my hands around him, offering up my lips for a kiss. He obliged me, taking my mouth with a fierceness that left me breathless.
"I want you,"
he growled. I sank to my knees on the carpeted floor, pulling his pants down enough to give me the access I needed. He exhaled harshly.
"Ava, what are you—"
My lips flowed over the wide crown. He reached back for the edge of his desk, his hands curling around the lip with white-knuckled force. I held him with both hands and mouthed the plush head, sucking gently. The softness of his skin and his uniquely appealing scent made me moan. I felt the vibration ripple through his entire body and heard a rough sound rumble in his chest. Gideon touched my cheek.
"Lick it."
Aroused by the command, I fluttered my tongue across the underside and shivered with delight when he rewarded me with a hot burst of pre-cum. Fisting the root of him with one hand, I hollowed my cheeks and drew rhythmically, hoping for more. I wished I had the time to make it last, drive him crazy. He made a sound filled with the sweetest agony.
God. Ava. Your mouth. Keep sucking. Like that. Hard and deep.
I was so turned on by his pleasure, I squirmed. His hands pushed into my bound hair, pulling and tugging at the roots. I loved how he started out with tenderness, then grew rougher as the lust he felt for me overwhelmed his control. The soft bite of pain made me hungrier, greedier. My head bobbed as I pleasured him, jacking him with one hand while I sucked and stroked the crest with my mouth. Heavy veins coursed the length of his cock, and I slid the flat of my tongue along them, tilting my head to find and caress each one. He swelled, growing thicker and longer. My knees were uncomfortable, but I didn't care. My gaze was riveted to Gideon as his head fell back and he fought for breath.
Ava, you suck me so good.
He held my head still and took over, thrusting his hips, fucking my mouth. Stripped to a level of base need where only the race to orgasm mattered, the thought made me crazed. The image in my mind of how we must look, Gideon and all his urbane sophistication, standing at the desk where he ruled an empire, stroking his big cock in and out of my greedy mouth. I gripped his straining thighs in both hands, frantically working my lips and tongue, desperate for his climax. His balls were heavy and big, an audacious display of his powerful virility. I cupped them, rolling them gently, feeling them tighten and draw up.
Ava!
His voice was a guttural rasp. His grip tightened in my hair.
You're making me... come.
The first spurt of semen was so thick I struggled to swallow. Mindless in his pleasure, Gideon was thrusting against the back of my throat, his cock throbbing with every wrenching pulse into my mouth. My eyes watered and my lungs burned, but still I pumped my fists, milking him. His entire body shuddered as I took everything he had. The sounds he made and the muttered, breathless praise were the most gratifying I'd ever heard. I licked him clean, marveling at how he didn't fully soften even after an explosive orgasm. He was still capable of fucking me senseless and more than willing to, I knew. But there was no time, and I was happy about that. I wanted to do this for him. For us. For me, really. Because I needed to know I could indulge in a selfless, sexual act without feeling taken advantage of.
I have to go,
I murmured, standing and pressing my lips to his. I hope the rest of your day is awesome, and your business dinner tonight, too. I started to move away, but he caught my wrist. His gaze on the clock readout on his desk phone. I noticed my picture then, sitting in a place of prominence, where he'd see it all day.
Ava.
Damn it,
wait.
I frowned at his tone, which sounded anxious, frustrated. He quickly restored his appearance, tucking himself back into his boxer briefs and straightening the tail of his shirt so he could fasten his pants. There was something sweet in watching him pull himself back together, restoring the facade he wore for the world, while I knew at least a little of the man beneath it. Tugging me close, Gideon pressed his lips to my brow. His hands moved through my hair to unclip my tortoise barrette.
I didn't get you off.
No need. I loved the feel of his hands on my scalp. That rocked just the way it was. He was overly focused on fixing my hair, his cheeks flushed from his orgasm.
I know you need an even exchange, he argued gruffly. I can't let you leave feeling like I used you.
A bittersweet tenderness pierced me. He'd listened. He cared. I cupped his face in my hands. You did use me, with my permission, and it was seriously hot. I wanted to give you this, Gideon. Remember? I warned you. I wanted you to have this memory of me. His eyes widened with alarm.
Why the fuck do I need memories when I have you?
Ava,
If this is about the photo, shut up and enjoy the high. We didn't have the time to get into the photo issue now, and I didn't want to. It was going to ruin everything. If we'd had an hour, I still wouldn't let you get me off. I'm not keeping score with you, Ace, and honestly, you're the first guy I can say that to. Now I have to go. You have to go. I started away again, but he caught me back. Scott's voice came through the speaker. Excuse me, Mr. Cross, but your 3 o'clock is here.
It's okay, Gideon, I assured him. You're coming over tonight, right?
Nothing could keep me away.
I shoved up onto my tiptoes and kissed his cheek. We'll talk then.
After work, I took the stairs down to the ground floor to feel less guilty about skipping the gym, and seriously regretted it by the time I reached the lobby. Lack of sleep from the night before had left me wiped out. I was contemplating taking the subway rather than walking when I saw Gideon's Bentley at the curb. When the driver got out and greeted me by name, I halted abruptly, surprised.
Mr. Cross asked that I take you home, he said,
looking smart in his black suit and chauffeur hat. He was an older gentleman with graying red hair, pale blue eyes, and the softest of cultured accents. As much as my legs ached, I was grateful for the offer.
Thank you. I'm sorry, what was your name?
Angus, Miss Tremell.
How had I not remembered that? The name was so cool. It made me smile.
Thank you, Angus.
He tipped his hat.
My pleasure.
I slid through the back door he opened for me, and as I settled into the seat, I caught a glimpse of the handgun he wore in a shoulder holster beneath his jacket. It appeared that Angus, like Clancy, was both bodyguard and driver. We pulled away from the curb and I asked,
How long have you been working for Mr. Cross, Angus?
8 years now.
Quite a while.
I've known him longer than that, he volunteered,
catching my gaze in the rearview mirror.
I drove him to school when he was a boy. He hired me away from Mr. Vidal when the time came.
Once again, I tried to picture Gideon as a child. No doubt he'd been beautiful and charismatic even then. Had he enjoyed normal sexual relationships when he was a teenager? I couldn't imagine that women weren't throwing themselves at him even then. And as innately sexual as he was, I imagined he'd been a horny teen. Digging in my purse, I pulled out my keys and leaned forward to set them on the front passenger seat. Can you see that Gideon gets those? He's supposed to come over after whatever it is he's doing tonight, and depending on how late that is, I might not hear him knock.
Of course.
Paul opened the door for me when we arrived at my apartment, and he greeted Angus by name, reminding me that Gideon owned the building. I waved to both men, told the front desk Gideon would be coming over later, and then took myself upstairs. Carrie's raised brows when he opened the door to me made me laugh. Gideon's coming over later, I explained. But I'm feeling so hammered right now, I may not stay up long. So I gave him my keys to let himself in. Did you order already? I did, and I tossed a few bottles of Cristal in the wine fridge.
You're the best.
I shoved my bag at him. I showered and called my mom from the phone in my room, wincing at her strident,
I have been trying to reach you for days.
Mom, if it's about Gideon Cross,
well, of course. It's partly about him. For goodness sake, Ava, you're being called the significant woman in his life. How could I not want to talk about that?
Mom, but there's also the appointment you asked me to make with Dr. Peterson. The note of smug amusement in her voice made me smile. We're scheduled to meet with him Thursday at 6 o'clock in the evening. I hope that works for you. He doesn't do many evening appointments. I plopped backward onto my bed with a sigh. I'd been so distracted by work and Gideon that the appointment had slipped my mind. Thursday at 6 will be fine. Thank you.
Now then, tell me about Cross.
When I emerged from my bedroom dressed in jersey pants and a San Diego State University sweatshirt,
I found Trey seated with Carrie in the living room. Both men stood when I came in, and Trey gifted me with an open, friendly smile.
"I'm sorry I look so ragged," I said sheepishly, running my fingers through my damp ponytail. "Taking the stairs at work almost killed me today."
"Elevator take the day off?" he asked.
"Nope, my brain did. What the hell was I thinking?"
Spending the night with Gideon was enough of a workout. The doorbell rang, and Carrie went to get it while I headed into the kitchen for the Cristal. I joined him at the breakfast bar as he signed the credit card receipt, and the look in his eyes when he glanced at Trey had me hiding a smile. There were a lot of those looks going back and forth between the two men as the evening progressed, and I had to agree with Carrie that Trey was a hottie. Dressed in distressed jeans, matching vest, and a long-sleeved shirt, the aspiring veterinarian looked casual but well put together. He was very different personality-wise from the type of guy Carrie usually dated. Trey seemed more grounded, not quite somber, but definitely not flighty. I thought he'd be a good influence on Carrie, if they stayed together long enough. The three of us made it through two bottles of Cristal and two pizzas between us, plus all of Demolition Man, before I called it a night. I urged Trey to stay for Driven, to round out the Stallone mini-marathon. Then I went to my room and changed into a sexy black baby doll I'd been given as part of a bridesmaid gift bag, sans the matching panties. Leaving a candle burning for Gideon, I crashed. I woke to the darkness and the scent of Gideon's skin, the lights and sounds of the city shut out by soundproofed windows and blackout drapes. Gideon slid over me, a moving shadow, his bare skin cool to the touch, his mouth slanted over mine, kissing me slow and deeply, tasting of mint and his own unique flavor. My hand slid down his sleekly muscular back, my legs parting so he could settle comfortably between them. The weight of him against me made my heart sigh, and my blood warm with desire.
"Well, hello to you too," I said breathlessly, when he let me up for air.
"You'll come with me next time," he murmured, in that sexy and decadent voice, nibbling at my throat.
"Will I?"
I teased. He reached down and cupped my butt in his hand, squeezing and lifting me into a deft roll of his hips.
"Yes, I missed you, Ava."
I ran my fingers through his hair, wishing I could see him. "You haven't known me long enough to miss me."
"Shows how much you know,"
Gideon scoffed, sliding downward and nuzzling between my breasts. I gasped as his mouth covered my nipple and sucked through the satin, deep pulls that echoed in the clenching of my core. He moved to my other breast, his hand pushing up the hem of my baby doll. I arched into him, lost to the magic of his mouth as it moved over my body, his tongue dipping into my navel, then sliding lower.
"And you missed me too," he purred with masculine satisfaction, the tip of his middle finger rimming my cleft. "You're swollen and wet for me."
He pulled my legs over his shoulders and licked between my folds, soft and provocative laps of hot velvet against my sensitive flesh. My hands fisted in the sheet, my chest heaving as he circled my clit with the tip of his tongue, then nudged the hypersensitive knot of nerves. I keened, my hips moving restlessly into the devious torment, my muscles tightening with the clawing need to come. The light, teasing flutters were driving me insane, giving me just enough to make me writhe, but not enough to get me off.
"Gideon, please."
"Not yet."
He tortured me, coaxing my body to the brink of orgasm and then letting me slide back down, over and over, until sweat misted my skin and my heart felt like it would burst. His tongue was tireless and diabolical, cleverly focusing on my clit until a single stroke would set me off,
then moving lower to thrust into me. The soft, shallow plunges were maddening, the flickering against the nerve-laden tissues making me desperate enough to beg shamelessly, "Please, Gideon, let me come. I need to come, please."
"Shh, Angel. I'll take care of you."
He finished me with a tenderness that made the orgasm roll through me like a crashing wave, building and swelling and spreading through me in a warm rush of pleasure. He threaded his fingers with mine when he came over me again, restraining my arms. The head of his cock aligned with the slick entrance of my body, and he pushed inexorably into me. I moaned, shifting to accommodate the heavy surge of his penis. Gideon's breath gusted hard and humid against my throat, his big frame trembling as he slid carefully inside me.
"You're so soft and warm. Mine, Ava. You're mine."
I wrapped my legs around his hips, welcoming him deeper, feeling his buttocks flex and release against my calves as he demonstrated to my body that it would indeed take his thick length all the way to the root. With our hands linked, he took my mouth and began to move, gliding in and out with languid skill, the tempo precise and relentless, yet smooth and easy. I felt every rock-hard inch of him, felt the unmistakable reiteration that every inch of me was his to possess. He drove the message home repeatedly until I was gasping against his mouth, thrashing restlessly beneath him, my hands bloodless from the strength of my grip on his. He spoke heated praise and encouragement, telling me how beautiful I was, how perfect I felt to him, how he'd never stop, couldn't stop. I came with a sharp cry of relief, vibrating with the ecstasy of it, and he was right there with me. His pace quickened for several slamming thrusts, then he climaxed with a hiss of my name spilling into me. I sank lax into the mattress, sweaty and boneless and replete.
"I'm not done," he whispered darkly, adjusting his knees to increase the force of his thrusts.
The pace remained expertly measured, each plunge staking a claim. "Your body exists to serve me." Biting my lip, I fought back the sounds of helpless pleasure that might have broken the tranquility of the night and betrayed the frightening depths of emotion I was beginning to feel for Gideon Cross.
This audiobook has been broken into multiple parts to make the download faster. You have reached the end of a part, but not the end of the complete audiobook. So please check your library for the next part of this audiobook.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.
This is Audible.
Bared to You, a Crossfire novel by Sylvia Day.
Chapter 12. Gideon found me in the shower the next morning. He strode into the master bath gloriously nude, walking with that sleek, confident grace I'd admired from the beginning. Watching the flexing of his muscles as he moved, I didn't even pretend not to stare at the magnificent package between his legs. Despite the heat of the water, my nipples beaded tight and goosebumps raced across my skin. His knowing smile as he joined me told me he knew exactly what kind of effect he had on me. I retaliated by running soapy hands all over his godlike body, then sitting on the bench and sucking him off with such enthusiasm he had to support himself with both palms pressed flat against the tile. His raw, raspy instructions echoed in my mind the entire time I dressed for work, which I did quickly, before he had a chance to finish his shower and fuck the hell out of me as he'd threatened to just before spurting fiercely down my throat. He'd had no nightmares during the night. Sex as a sedative seemed to be working, and I was extremely grateful for that.
"I hope you don't think you've gotten away," he said, when he prowled after me into the kitchen.
Immaculately dressed in a black pinstriped suit, he accepted the cup of coffee I handed him and gave me a look that promised all sorts of wicked things. I saw him in his supremely civilized attire and thought of the insatiable male who'd slipped into my bed during the night. My blood quickened. I was sore, my muscles thrumming with remembered pleasure, and I was still thinking about more.
"Keep looking at me like that," he warned,
leaning casually into the counter and sipping his coffee.
"See what happens."
"I'm going to lose my job over you."
"I'd give you another one,"
I snorted.
"As what?
Your sex slave?"
"What a provocative suggestion. Let's discuss."
"Fiend," I muttered, rinsing out my mug in the sink and putting it in the dishwasher. "Ready? For work?" He finished his coffee, and I held out my hand for his mug. But he bypassed me and rinsed it out himself. Another mortal task that made him seem accessible, less of a fantasy I'd never have a chance of holding on to. He faced me.
"I want to take you out to dinner tonight, and then take you home to my bed."
"I don't want you to burn out on me, Gideon." He was a man used to being alone, a man who hadn't had a meaningful physical relationship in a long time, if ever. How long before his flight instincts kicked in? Besides, we really needed to stay out of the public eye as a couple.
"Don't make excuses."
His features hardened.
"You don't get to decide I can't do this."
I kicked myself for offending him. He was trying, and I needed to make sure he got credit for that, not discouragement. "That's not what I meant. I just don't want to crowd you. Plus, we still need to..."
"Ava," he sighed,
the hard tension leaving him with that frustrated exhalation.
"You have to trust me. I'm trusting you. I've had to, or we wouldn't be here now."
"Okay." I nodded, swallowing hard. "Dinner, and your place it is, then. I honestly can't wait." Gideon's words about trust lingered in my mind all morning, which was a good thing when the Google Alert Digest hit my inbox. There was more than one photo this time around. Each article and blog post had several shots of me and Carrie hugging goodbye outside the restaurant where we'd had lunch the day before. The captions speculated on the nature of our relationship, and some noted that we lived together. Others suggested I was reeling in billionaire Playboy Cross while keeping my up-and-coming model boyfriend on the side. The reason for the publicity became apparent when I saw the picture of Gideon mingled with the ones of me and Carrie. It had been taken last night, while I was watching movies with Carrie and Trey, and while Gideon was supposedly at a business dinner. In the photo, Gideon and Magdalena Perez smiled intimately at each other, her hand on his forearm as they stood outside a restaurant. The captions ranged between kudos for Gideon's bevy of beautiful socialites to speculation that he was hiding a broken heart over my infidelity by dating other women.
"You have to trust me."
I closed my inbox, my breathing too quick and my heartbeat too fast. Jealous confusion twisted my gut. I knew he couldn't possibly have been physically intimate with another woman, and I knew he cared for me, but I hated Magdalena with a passion. Certainly she'd given me good reason to during our bathroom chat, and I couldn't stand seeing her with Gideon. Couldn't stand seeing him smiling so fondly at her, especially after the way she'd treated me. But I put it away. I shoved it into a box in my mind, and I focused on my job. Mark was meeting with Gideon tomorrow to go over the RFP for the Kingsman campaign, and I was organizing the information flowing between Mark and the contributing departments.
"Hey, Ava," Mark poked his head out of his office. "Steve and I are meeting at Bryant Park Grill for lunch. He asked if you'd come.
He'd like to see you again."
"I'd love to."
My whole afternoon brightened at the thought of enjoying lunch at one of my favorite restaurants with two really charming guys.
They'd distract me from thinking about the conversation I was hours away from having with Gideon about my past. My privacy was clearly gone. I would have to grow a set of balls and talk to Gideon before we went out to dinner. Before he was seen in public with me any further, he needed to know the risk he was taking by being associated with me. When I received an inter-office envelope a short while later, I assumed it was a small mock-up of one of the Kingsman ads, but found a note card from Gideon instead. Noon. My office. Really? I muttered, irritated by the lack of salutation and closing, not to mention the lack of a request. And who could forget the fact that Gideon hadn't even mentioned running into Magdalena at dinner? Had he invited her as his date in my stead? That was what she was there for, after all, to be one of the women he socialized with outside his hotel room. I flipped Gideon's card over and wrote the same number of words with no signature. Sorry, have plans. A bratty reply, but he deserved it. When a quarter to noon rolled around, Mark and I headed down to the ground floor. When I was stopped by security and the guard called up to Gideon to tell him I was in the lobby, my irritation kicked into a temper. Let's go, I said to Mark, striding toward the revolving door and ignoring the pleas of the security guard to wait a moment. I felt bad putting him in the middle. I saw Angus and the Bentley at the curb at the same moment I heard Gideon snap out my name like a whip crack behind me. I faced him as he joined us on the sidewalk, with his face impassive and his gaze icy. I'm going to lunch with my boss, I told him, my chin lifting.
Where are you headed, Garrity? Gideon asked, without taking his eyes off me.
Bryant Park Grill.
I'll see that she gets there.
With that, he took my arm and steered me firmly toward the Bentley and the rear door that Angus held open for me. Gideon crowded in behind me, forcing me to scramble across the seat. The door shut, and we were off. I yanked the skirt of my sheath dress back into place. What are you doing, besides embarrassing me in front of my boss? He draped one arm over the back of the seat and leaned toward me.
Is Carrie in love with you?
What? No!
Have you fucked him?
Have you lost your mind? Mortified, I shot a glance at Angus and found him acting like he was deaf. Screw you, billionaire playboy with your bevy of beautiful socialites.
So you did see the photos.
I was so mad I was panting. The nerve! I turned my head away, dismissing him and his idiotic accusations. Carrie's like a brother to me. You know that.
Ah, but what are you to him? The photos were amazingly clear, Ava. I know love when I see it.
Angus slowed for a herd of pedestrians crossing the street. I shoved the door open and looked at Gideon over my shoulder, letting him take a good look at my face. Obviously, you don't. I slammed the door shut and set off briskly, righteous in my anger. I'd fought back my own questions and jealousy with Herculean effort. And what did I get for it? An irrationally pissed-off Gideon.
Ava, stop right there.
I flipped him the bird over my shoulder and raced up the short steps into Bryant Park, a lushly green and tranquil oasis in the midst of the city. Just crossing up and over from the sidewalk was like being transported to a completely different realm. Dwarfed by the towering skyscrapers surrounding it, Bryant Park was a garden land behind a beautiful old library, a place where time slowed, children laughed over the innocent joy of a carousel ride, and books were treasured companions. Unfortunately for me, the gorgeous ogre from one world chased me into the other. Gideon caught me by the waist.
Don't run, he hissed in my ear.
You're acting like a nut job.
Maybe because you drive me fucking crazy.
His arms tightened into steel bands.
You're mine. Tell me Carrie knows that.
Right. Like Magdalena knows you're mine. I wished he had something near my mouth that I could bite.
You're causing a scene. We could have done this in my office if you weren't so damned stubborn.
I had plans, asshat, and you're fucking them up for me.
My voice broke, tears welling as I felt the number of eyes on us. I was going to get fired for being an embarrassing spectacle.
You're fucking up everything.